Speak to our hearts, Father, as we open your word, that you would help us to hear what the Spirit would say to the church. We give you all praise, honor, and glory, Lord, for you will perfect the church, you will perfect the bride, and she will be without spot or wrinkle. And that day is soon, Lord. We believe so. And so we invite you to do your work in our hearts this morning. Might your Holy Spirit guide us into your truth, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 100. Psalm 100. While you're turning there, I'd like to just read this psalm. It's five short verses. It's called a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word, Lord. Might it pierce our hearts today. Might we be changed, Lord, by your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This psalm is one of a number of psalms that are called royal psalms. And the psalmist is encouraging us really to be noisy about our faith. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And as I was thinking about that, I thought back in years gone by when I was part of a denominational church. One of the things we used to do every Sunday is we would sing what they called the doxology. And perhaps if you've come through a denominational church, you might be familiar with this doxology. If you are, you're welcome to sing it with me. It goes, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen." And that is a great response to this psalm. And that's exactly what the psalmist is exhorting us to do, is to praise God with all that we are. He says to us, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." In other words, cry out to the Lord. We are to lift our voices to him, the God of heaven, if you will. And it's not just when we're in trouble. It's not just the foxhole lifting our voices. You know, in the pressure times where we cry out to him, "Help, Lord," like Peter as he's sinking in the water. And we've all had those prayers. We've all been in that situation. But how much better to be crying out to the Lord in the good times, to be talking to him and giving thanks to him about all that he's doing, all that he is, and all that he wants to do in our lives. You see, our noise is to be joy-filled. And this is a psalm, really, for those who would say, "I can't carry a tune in a bucket." Great. Well, this is your psalm then, because it just says, make a joyful noise. So make that joyful noise in the shower, or in your car, or in the sanctuary. I mean, we're all right. Years ago, when I was singing in the choir, I over time learned how to read music some, but I wasn't real good at it. And I had this fellow next to me that was trained a trained musician, and so as we're learning songs as a choir, you know, you're kind of going through the notes trying to get your part right. And I would note periodically as we're singing our part, the tenor part, as I was trying to learn it, he would put his ear hand up to his ear on my side. Because as far as he was concerned, I was making a joyful noise. And you know, so we make that joyful noise. It is that deep sense of knowing God personally. You know, what is that noise? It's the sweet tune of the heart. It's not just what we say or what we sing, it's what we express with our hearts. God wants our hearts. He doesn't just want our lips. Our lips express what's in our hearts oftentimes. But we want him to have all of our heart. We need to allow him to have all of us. And he says there, to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. In other words, the more the merrier. For us, as we come together, we know that we're going to be meeting with people of common mind and heart, that we're going to be expressing our love for the Lord. You and I, as we move through our lives, are to bring others along with us. We're to bring friends, if you will. And really, that's exactly what was happening this weekend at Pioneer Days, is the outreach to touch people's lives, to make them friends, if you will, and then to bring them along, not necessarily to this church, but into the body of Christ, that they too would then be able to express that joyful noise unto the Lord. And it's like what you heard earlier today. There were people who were observing what was going on there amongst those who were in fellowship with one another, and they desired that. They wanted to have a taste of that. And that's why the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. And I love that. That's exactly what you and I are to do. That is exactly what ministry is. It's helping others to taste and see that the Lord is good. And do you know that to be true this morning? Is the Lord good? Yes, he is, all the time. And it's the goodness of the Lord, it is the goodness of God that leads men and women, boys and girls, to repentance, to a relationship with him. And I suspect that many of us in this place have a relationship with him. We've said yes to Jesus. We've invited him into our lives. We've allowed him to take control. But if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, today's the day of salvation, the scripture says. It's a simple matter of simply inviting him to come into your life, to forgive you of your sins, to make you the person that he wants you to be. That prayer of faith moves you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Or if you've been wandering off in the weeds, not walking with the Lord like you should, then it's time to say, Lord, I want to come back. I know I'm like the prodigal son. I've been feeding with the pigs, but I realize now that I need so much more. And you have that to offer, Lord. You want to welcome me back. He says there in verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So he says, come before the Lord with singing. Do you have a song on your heart this morning? Do you find that as you're moving through your day, all of a sudden you realize that you're singing a chorus or some song that you've been hearing on the radio? It's just kind of overflowing out of your life because of what God's doing. We are to serve with gladness. We are to serve, and it should be a pleasure, not a sadness. You know, some Christians, when they walk through life, it's like they look like they've been sucking on a pickle, right? A dill pickle. And that's sad. We should have the joy of the Lord on our countenance. It doesn't mean that everything is going well, that everything is easy and hunky-dory, but it does mean that we know where we're headed. And that what's going on right now in our lives isn't going to last forever. It's going to, as the scripture says, come to pass. It came to pass, and I'm so thankful for that. You see, we serve not by compulsion, but by choice. It's not I have to go to church. Well, for some of you, it may be, kids. It's not I have to go to church, but I get to go to church. I get to come into God's house. I get to be in God's presence. I get to be with God's people. I get to lift my voice in song. I get to study God's word. I get to pray and hear others pray. There's so many things. I get to eat after service. I get so many things from plugging into the body of Christ. The Psalms were written, guys, with the sanctuary in focus. If you're a student at all of the Old Testament, you know that both the tabernacle and the temple were the center of all spiritual activity in the land of Israel. And God made it to be so. He wanted his people to be focused on the sanctuary. Every piece and part of the sanctuary and of the temple point to Jesus. Now, the tabernacle went away and the temple in Israel, in Jerusalem, went away. But guys, listen, the temple is still with us. We're the temple. The scripture says we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have him within us. And we become that temple, that representation where people can be drawn to him and come into relationship with him. What an amazing privilege that gives us. God's heart is for his people to be in his house. He wants us to come together because it is so important for us to be connected with one another. How much isolation do we see in our world about us? Isolation, loneliness, despair in people's lives. You see many of the people that are out on the streets or even at the celebration in Canyonville this weekend. As you see their countenance, it's like there's an emptiness, a despair. What is their hope? Their hope is Jesus. That's the truth. And so the Lord wants us to be in his house. Why? Because it provides an undistracted time. I can set aside all the other cares of the day. What happened yesterday, what's going to happen tomorrow, and I can have this time dedicated to simply being in the presence of the Lord, knowing that just like Moses, as he was there on Mount Sinai, you remember, he comes down and the people are blown away because he's glowing, right? Because he'd been in the Lord's presence. That's exactly what happens to you and to me when we come into the sanctuary. You begin to glow. You may not see it, but the people around you see it. They may not recognize it for what it is, but the truth is it becomes a sanctifying influence. It becomes a powerful influence on the lives of those around us. So it provides this undistracted time for us, and it provides a dedicated time. I am committed, Lord, to being in your presence, to sing your praises, to pray, Lord, to seek your face, and to hear what your word has to say to me today. And make no mistake about it, his word speaks to every single one of us. It's not me up here speaking to you, but it's him speaking to all of us by his Spirit. You see, that's the key. It's not just a ministry of one, but it's a ministry of many. All of us have the privilege of being an instrument in God's hands, because as we come, as we experience that dedicated time, that undistracted time, it brings into our hearts, into our lives, a refreshing. How much refreshing do we need today? How many of you had a very difficult week at work or at home or both, in the community, wherever it happens to be? And yet when we come into the sanctuary, all of a sudden, those things just kind of shed off for a time, and the Lord refreshes us by his Holy Spirit. And we walk out seeing things in a little bit different perspective, being lifted above our circumstances, being refreshed and encouraged, knowing that it is going to be all right, that he's going to see us through. In verse 3, we read, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." The psalmist would tell us to consider relationship with the Lord. He says, know that the Lord, he is God. You see, that's what allows people to try and decide what their own gender is. They have denied God and his authority in their lives. And so what we have the privilege of doing is letting them know and understand that saying it again and again doesn't change the reality that God is real, that he's on the throne, and that he has a sovereign plan. He's the one who decides. He's the one who decides. That idea of knowing, it carries with it the idea of an experiential relationship. We need to embrace the fact that God is God. Do I always agree with what happens in my life? No, but I always know that it's right because he's allowed it to happen. He's either brought it into my life or he's allowed it into my life for a reason. To change me, to purify me, to correct me, to educate me, to do so many different things in my life and in your life as well. You see, as we talk about our God, he is multifaceted. We talk about the Trinity. Our God is creator, our heavenly Father. We talk about him as our Father, the one who ordained creation, the one who spake everything into existence through his Son. The one who is everlasting, from everlasting, the psalmist would say, to everlasting, your God. You never change. You're always there. You're doing your work. And we rejoice in that. He's our creator, but he's also our king. All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. We sing that song, that chorus. All hail King Jesus. Is he on the throne of your heart and my heart today? Is he truly king of our lives? He wants to be. But so often the pressures of life can cause us to set Jesus aside and place ourselves on the throne and begin making decisions on our own understanding, you see. He calls us back to himself. And he does so because he is not only creator and king, he is also our guide. We call him the Holy Spirit. God the Spirit. He's real. He's not just a presence. He's not just a power. He's not just an influence. He's a person. The person of the Holy Spirit. And we need to know and understand that. There's power in that understanding. Because all of a sudden we realize that we have the Spirit within us. We've been given the Spirit of Christ. Be praying for his fullness. Father, you know that you have a plan for my life, and I know that Jesus is my Savior, but I want your Spirit to have total control of me, Lord. I want you to do your work in me through your Spirit. I want you to teach me. I want you to cause me, Lord, to hear you more clearly, to move at the impulse of your will. Lord, I want you to empower me, not for power's sake, for heaven's sake, but because I know that as I'm submitted to the power of the Holy Spirit, that the lives around me are going to be forever changed. And we see it. It's in an ever-increasing fashion. I mentioned it here the other day, that 4,500 people were baptized down in Southern California off on the coast there over a weekend. 4,500. That's crazy. But that's God. That's what he's doing. And it's not just there, it's around the world. People are coming to know Christ, even in the face of understanding that when they accept Christ, they could very likely lose their life, be disowned by their family, not be able to get work. All the things that we hold dear, if you will, in the material realm, and it costs them everything, but they're willing to make that step because they know that Jesus is real and that God's at work in their life. And they want heaven to be their home. Guys, we need to humble ourselves before him. He says we need to know that he, God, has made us and not we ourselves. Humility is so important. I want to and need to remember that all I have is only from him and for him. Anything that you possess this morning in your realm is a gift from God. He's given it to you. There is no such thing as a self-made man or a self-made woman, believer or unbeliever. God is at work in both. He was at work in Pharaoh's life. He was at work in Nebuchadnezzar's life. He's been at work in lives down through the ages, and he's used them for his purposes. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. We are his. They are his. You know, the scripture says you're no longer your own. You're bought with a price. I love that scripture. We no longer own ourselves when we say yes to Jesus. There is no self in humility. Lord, I know that everything I have, everything I am, is from you. And you're in the business of molding and shaping and causing me to be the instrument in your hands that you want me to be so that fruit can be born for your glory and for your kingdom. Always go back to the verse. He uses the weak and the foolish to confound the strong and the wise. I can relate to that, Lord. Yes, that's me, the weak and foolish. Because I know that when anything is done, people will say, well, that certainly couldn't have been him. It had to have been God. And we celebrate that, you see. When you see that in Scripture, when Jesus ministered, they gave glory to God because it was done for his glory. Why do we do what we do? We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. In verse 4, we read, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. In other words, commit to enter into the Lord. Jesus would tell his disciples, he that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. If you want to see fruit in your life, if I want to see fruit take place in my life, I need to be connected to the vine. If I'm connected to the vine, fruit will always happen. If fruit's not happening, then I need to step back and I need to get connected or reconnected to the vine. He says we need to give thanksgiving, the idea of cultivating a thankful heart, to practice giving thanks for people, those that we like and those that we don't like, for events and for things. Lord, I know that you have a purpose in this. I give you thanks, Lord. I'm not really happy about what's going on right now, that person that's in my life, but I do know that you have a purpose, Lord, for that. And we need to avoid speaking critically. We need to develop the habit of speaking good to edification. That becomes increasingly difficult if you're a political animal. That's why we need to keep our eyes upon the things of the Word, the things of the Lord, because the things that we see around us are extremely troubling. But we need to realize that even in that, God is going to be seen. God is going to do his work. We need to learn to give him thanks. We need to learn to praise him, to declare the greatness of God. When you're interacting with people throughout the day, whether it's your family or friends or coworkers, does God ever come up in your conversation? Do I ever say, you know what? God is so good. He has done such amazing things. Here's what he's done in my life. Here's what he's done in this circumstance. Here's what he's done in that situation. You see, praise is something we can do outside of the sanctuary. We can praise him for his wonderful works. And we need to. We need to turn people's hearts to the things of God, even those who won't necessarily appreciate it at the moment. We need to let them know that God is real and that he's at work in our lives. It plants a seed. They walk away. They're going to think about what you said, what I've shared. And it changes their lives. People that we think are so hard will never come to know Jesus. Do. We saw it this last couple of weeks. Somebody that people thought would never come to know Jesus. And yet, in that foxhole, all of a sudden, Jesus became very real. That's what happens when God's people give him praise. We need to do it personally. We need to do it corporately. But guys, listen, we need to do it passionately. We need to be passionate about our faith. We need to be passionate about our love for Jesus. We need to be passionate about the truth of God's word. We get really passionate. Have you ever screamed yourself hoarse at a sporting event? I know some of you have. Or painted your belly green and orange or whatever the team colors are, and you're out in the middle of the snow, you know, in a football game. I mean, people are passionate about a lot of things. Don't you think we should be passionate about the one who gave his life for us? We may not paint our bellies green and orange and red or whatever, but we do need to stand up and let the Lord know that we love Jesus. And it says that we need to be a blessing and blessing others, to express the wonder of his greatness, his strength, and his power. Psalm 103, which we'll be getting to soon, says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. who heals all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. We are to bless the one who is the ultimate healer, not only from a spiritual standpoint, but from an emotional standpoint, from a mental standpoint, from a physical standpoint. He is the healer, and we need to go to him as such. We are changed, guys, when we choose to bless rather than curse. James would say that the one who can control his tongue is complete, is perfect. How do we do in that area? How do we do in the area of controlling our tongues? I have to say, not too good sometimes for me. I want to do better. But that's a work of the Holy Spirit. He has to tame our tongue. You know, as we close today, verse 5, it says, "For the Lord is good." Do you believe that this morning? The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. The psalmist, as he closes the psalm out, says, we need to carry the message of the Lord forward. We need to let the Lord know the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. We see goodness, we see mercy, we see truth. All of those are found in our Heavenly Father. So we hang out with him. That understanding, guys, listen, when we have that understanding, it leads to internal peace and external purpose. When we know that our Heavenly Father is good and he's merciful and he's truthful, he's a faithful God, all of a sudden we have a peace that passes understanding, as Philippians talks about. Even in the midst of the storm, you may be in a storm right now, but guys, listen, you can have that supernatural peace in the midst of the storm. He's there. He's available. And that also helps us to have external purpose. It gives us that freedom and that power and that motivation to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ. I am so, so blessed to see all of you that are out there doing the work of ministry day by day, sharing your faith, praying for others, doing what God has called you to do. How awesome is that? Impacting the world for Jesus Christ. And we come back filled up. We can never outgive him. We can come into the sanctuary and we can say, look at what God has done. Isn't he awesome? The world needs to know that God loves them. He doesn't hate them. He doesn't. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we celebrate that. Guys, listen, when we come into this place, we come in to learn of him in these walls. But the purpose is then to take him outside of these walls. We don't come just to learn for learning's sake. This is a springboard into life, really. The springboard into life. We springboard into our workaday world, into our community, overseas, into the prisons, wherever it happens to be, into the schools. What you and I have gleaned in these times that we share together, we then take outside of these walls and we share it with others that God brings across our path, and he will bring them across our path. We have to decide if we're going to respond. And there's times we let people walk by and we know that God has prompted us to speak, and we don't speak. And then we're convicted. And he says, okay, well, now let's try it again. Do over, Mark, mulligan. And he sends somebody else along the way. He says, okay, what are you going to do with that? And then when we reach out and we speak to them, we see a life changed. Our God is good. So let's be noisy. Let's be noisy about it. Why don't you go ahead and stand with me and we'll pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. Lord, we give you all praise, honor, and glory this day. And we thank you for drawing us to this place, Lord, and for speaking to our hearts, Lord. You do that so well, and we're so thankful for it, Lord. Your word always accomplishes its purpose. So, Father, today, as we leave this place, might we be refreshed encouraged, built up in the faith, Lord. Might we go from this place and look for opportunities to share about your goodness. Help us to be noisy about it, Lord. We give you all praise. I pray the Lord would bless you today, that he'd encourage you, that he'd build you up in the faith, you to experience the fullness of his Spirit as you seek him, and you would be an instrument to bring him glory. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.